making sense of the tax code when buying a general aviation aircraft. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. There's lots happening in Washington these days as the federal government plunges in to attempt to patch the economy. And among the phrases we're hearing again is accelerated depreciation. But there are many other issues to cover when assessing how the tax code will affect your decision to purchase an aircraft and affect the timing. Having been through this drill very recently, ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell took the opportunity to share some Q&A with Daniel Chung, a certified public accountant and member of Aviation Tax Consultants.
Taxes. One of the most abused and hated words in the American vocabulary, and one that's going to stick with us until, well, the other thing that's usually associated with taxes, and let's not go there. We're speaking with Daniel Chung, a CPA, an aviation tax consultant, and to make a long story short, a guy who has been a big help to us as we embarked upon aircraft ownership just before the end of the year and helped us make some proper decisions and avoid quite a few mistakes. Daniel, welcome to Aero News.
Hi, Jim. Thanks.
Daniel, things changed. We had a big deal about doing this and that before the end of the year, and Aero News took advantage of it for whatever it was worth. But there's been some actions in Congress lately that have stirred the pot quite a bit. And can you tell us what aircraft owners of the future from here on out can expect in the way of being able to expense their aircraft?
Sure. The economic stimulus package that was passed by the Congress back in February effectively extended what we had in 2008, which is 50% bonus depreciation that will apply to brand new aircraft purchase, and the increase in Section 179 expensing for up to $250,000. And this one, the 179, applies to both new or used airplane. Those are the two biggest incentives available to aircraft owners in 2009.
To the person out there who's looking to add an aircraft for business purposes, what does somebody really need to do to educate themselves to be able to take advantage of things like this and also to be looking at how they can utilize their aircraft in the future as cost-effectively as possible vis-a-vis the tax scenario?
There are a couple of different areas. One is the income tax justification. The other is the sales and use tax planning, depending on where you reside, in which state in the country. The income tax piece obviously offers the most benefits in terms of a reduction in income tax liability. But the biggest aspect to consider is how you can incorporate the airplane into your existing business. Like with ANN, obviously use the airplane to travel to different parts of the country to cover aviation news. What taxpayer needs to be thinking about is how they can utilize a business aircraft to further their business, to become more efficient, and to become more profitable. Sales and use tax planning is also important. As you know, different states assess most of the states assess sales and use tax on the purchase of an airplane. With some proper planning, you can eliminate that liability or at least defer that liability.
And that can make a real big difference. It certainly did to us.
Absolutely.
There are certain states or certain areas of the country that seem to be a bit more friendly to the business aircraft owner than others, and there may be changes. Obviously, one of the things that came to the fore last year was our continuing coverage of the situation within the state of Florida and in other states. Maine has been mentioned, and a number of others have been mentioned. California comes up quite a bit as well, that take a bit more aggressive role toward aircraft owners and getting their piece of the pie. What did an aircraft owner look for in regards to being able to work within the individual state that they're, one, domiciled in and otherwise doing business in?
Yeah, depending on the different state, generally speaking, there are different exemptions that can be available depending on, again, the states and how you utilize the airplane. California, you know, does have a very high sales tax rate. However, if you do utilize your airplane in interstate business travel, you can completely eliminate that tax liability by properly claiming the interstate commerce exemption. In most states, including Florida, what we utilize is some sort of a leasing company concept that will help you defer the sales tax. In the Midwest, many states are a lot more aggressive in terms of pursuing taxpayers. Typically, they will go through the FAA registry, and that's how they find out that you bought an airplane, and they will send you a notice and kind of an fishing expedition and try to catch taxpayers that try to avoid paying the sales tax.
Well, it's obvious we live in a society where there are no secrets, so they're going to find out about your use and so forth as soon as possible. How do you properly prepare yourself within the states, and then, of course, just doing, well, most people who operate a business aircraft obviously operate it out of state. What cautions should we have in out-of-state operations?
The most important part to the planning is the timing. Many of these exemptions are available. However, if you purchase the airplane and try to do some planning after the fact, that would not be very effective. So the best advice I can give potential airplane purchasers out there is do the homework and get some advice prior to making the purchase and get everything set up on a timely basis so that the claim exemption can be properly documented and supported.
Well, one of the things we found out, you know, we thought we, when we went into our aircraft purchase, we had an opportunity to pick up a demo aircraft that was priced aggressively because of the circumstances that are available out there right now. And of course, the times are such that for those who can take advantage of it, there certainly are some bargains. But to be honest, you know, we've got all this time, all this experience in airplanes, but when it came to the accounting end, we were kind of real dummies about this. How does somebody get themselves up to speed on this, both from their standpoint, and then, of course, many of us work with an accountant. How do we get our accountants up to speed on aircraft ownership?
Well, if your accountant and CPA happen to have, you know, numerous airplane clients, then they may be well-versed in the tax treatment, both income tax and sales and use tax treatment, of, you know, how to handle the transaction. That's kind of what our business is. That's what our focus is. We come in, help your CPA to structure this to maximize the advantages available as a resource. I mean, that's what we provide as, again, both in income and sales and use tax planning, in addition to any FAA compliance type issues. And instead of having your CPA do research every time any questions come up, that's kind of what we are available to help.
More Q&A on the tax aspects of buying a business aircraft with Jim Campbell and CPA Daniel Chung in a moment. I'm Paul Flagg, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Platt. ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell is discussing the tax implications of buying a business aircraft with CPA Daniel Chung. Lots of people will be heard saying 2009 is a great time to buy. If only it was that simple.
We found that there was an awful lot to learn, and thankfully we were prepared magnificently well after the fact by you and your folks, and we certainly appreciate that. And one of the reasons why we're talking to you now, because, wow, what an education process. But for the person right now who has a business, or for that matter, even a private owner with business intentions and the ability to expense all or part of their aircraft, how do they prepare before the purchase to be able to make the most effective decisions?
Well, once again, doing the proper homework and both talking to your CPA or even attorney, and in terms of maybe put liability protection issues, a lot of our planning is geared towards the income tax angle, because the airplane generates a lot of depreciation deductions, and many a time the planning is driven strictly by the income tax requirements. If you have a corporation or an LLC, depending on where you live, some of those, you know, certainly affect the ownership structure decision. And having all the advisors together, maybe a month or even 2 months before the acquisition of the airplane, and so everybody can be on the same page in terms of what's important to you as an owner, and come up with a structure that makes sense, that certainly is very helpful.
Absolutely. Why do a number of taxing authorities treat the purchase of an aircraft differently than they do other high-ticket items? That's one of the things I've never quite understood.
Well, I think a lot of this is the political environment these days, as everybody reads your newsletter or even the general news coverage. They consider the airplane as a luxury, as a toy, and it certainly is easy to track, with, like you say, with all the public information available in terms of ownership or even flight tracking software out there. And it's just easy for the state to assess, you know, the tax on a big-ticket item like this. It certainly is efficient use of their time. I think that's certainly one reason why they go after aircraft owners aggressively.
Well, you and I talked a bit last year during some of the heights of hysteria over the Florida situation, especially when one local tourist-oriented fly-in decided to put out some negative and false information about the realities of the tax situation, which was somewhat surprisingly corrected in a pretty upfront manner by Florida's Department of Revenue. They said, well, that's not true. This is what really is true, and so forth. But it was kind of an interesting scenario where people who had been doing all their homework in the states that they lived and worked in and so forth and subsequently came to do business in Florida could wind up with a bit of a trap if they were caught unawares. Are there other states like that that we have to be aware of?
Well, even in Florida, I think based on what I have seen, they have reduced the enforcement of you know, this really unfair treatment of airplane owners just flying into Florida for a brief visit. So they have reduced that type of enforcement of these laws. For the most part, there's not really any country other than Maine that were that aggressive in terms of pursuing aircraft owners. Most of the states, they are focusing their enforcement on the taxpayers that do live in their states that are trying to hide and not pay, you know, the tax on the aircraft purchase. And compared to going out to out-of-state people coming in to do business or just for personal visits, I don't see that, generally speaking, across the country.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that. You know, obviously everybody understands that they've got to pay taxes, and your fair share of things is one thing. It's just also a matter of making sure that you're doing the best that you can and making the most effective business decisions you can for the health of your business. And that is to maximize, you know, the potential tax benefits that you can get from your aircraft and to minimize the tax liabilities. And that's, of course, you know, reasonable on any level. However, just the ownership angle is one thing. What are the things that we should be looking at for the continued operation and upkeep of our aircraft? How can we expense that? What should we be looking for? And especially as we upgrade both our aircraft as well as our own capabilities.
The most important aspect in terms of working with the IRS or in an audit situation is you better be prepared to have very well documentation in terms of business use. There are a lot of times what we see in audit situation is the structure is in place, nothing wrong with the structure, but the taxpayer is negligent in terms of not keeping good records. That's by far the biggest attack that IRS can, you know, in terms of attempting to disallow any deductions, because, well, you can say you flew to Miami for a conference. Well, what kind of documentation you have? who you met with or what kind of business you generated. So the one advice would be keep very, very good records in terms of anything relating to the airplane.
Well, obviously that makes good sense as well. Is there a format that they prefer? I mean, do you literally keep a logbook and
we certainly recommend something more than just your typical pilot logbook because there's just not a lot of area that you can include sufficient details. We do recommend some sort of spreadsheet format electronically that you can keep. And again, as much details as possible should be kept on a spreadsheet or electronic pilot logbook.
Okay. And how about personal training and personal advancement in regards to owner-flown aircraft? Is our training necessary to maintain our currency, or for that matter, additional ratings that may enhance our use of the airplane? Is that kind of thing expensive?
Well, it depends. Generally speaking, if you're trying to deduct private pilot training, that may be an issue, or you may have to have some very good justification to do that. But once you become a pilot, if you were to get an IFR rating to increase your utility or the time that you can fly the airplane, that could be deductible. But if you were to get an ATP, for example, because that allows you to become a commercial pilot, IRS does take the position that that is not deductible. So, but there are a lot of facts and circumstances that can affect, you know, the deductibility of training. Basically, the most important piece is the airplane itself need to be used for business first. And if there's some training or proficiency type use relating to that business airplane, that is okay.
All righty. What are the mistakes that people make, though? Let's finalize with the areas where people wind up getting into trouble. What are the common mistakes that people make in regards to the operation and expensing of these aircraft that should be avoided at all costs?
In terms of one thing about sales and use tax, there's still the myth out there that says, hey, set up a Delaware LLC and you don't owe sales and use tax. That is by far the biggest myth, and what it is, we like to call it a hide-and-seek game. If you do the Delaware LLC and if your state doesn't find out that you own an airplane, that's true, they cannot tax you. But if they ever catch you, find out that you're based in your home state, boom, sales and use taxes due. So that's a very common mistake and myth that is out there. In terms of income tax wise, again, the justification of the use of the airplane and documentation of the use of the airplane, that cannot be overemphasized. A lot of times, what you need to think about is how the airplane enables you to become more profitable, how to make you become more efficient in terms of operating a business. That justification is very important. If you need to buy an airplane for, let's just say, some conferences 3 times a year, it may be very hard to justify and say you need to buy a $500,000 airplane for that purpose. However, if you have a recurring need to travel, be it to expand your geographic coverage for your business, be it to improve customer relations, well, some of those certainly are valid business usage of the airplane.
Outstanding. Daniel, I have to tell you, and I'll put this out in front of our listeners and readers, you know, we had a couple ideas about what we were going to do in late December, and you very kindly contacted me and let me know that I frankly had my head up my you-know-what and wasn't doing the right thing, and got us fixed up in a heartbeat and quite professionally and quite aggressively. So we can certainly recommend your efforts and so forth. So how can people get in touch with you with any questions they might have in this area?
Our website is aviationtaxconsultants.com, has some general information, and certainly they can contact our office anytime at our toll-free number is 800-342-9589. Fred and I are a partner in the business, and we'd love to talk to you and see if we can help somebody else out there.
And I should note that you're a frequent denizen of the Cirrus Owners and Pilots Association site, where we've had a bit of interaction here and there. And we sure appreciate both the information that you've imparted to the COPA folks as well as other areas, and how freely you've dispensed advice to folks like me who really needed it right away.
Well, you're very welcome.
We thank you much. We've been speaking with Daniel Chung of Aviation Tax Consultants on a problem we all have to deal with sooner or later. And it's either death or taxes, and I guess taxes in some way, shape, and form is a bit more malleable. For the time being, it's one of those things that we're just going to have to grin and bear it. Daniel, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Jim.
Jim Campbell is ANN's Editor-in-Chief. Daniel Chung is a CPA and member of Aviation Tax Consultants. You can find out more at www.aviationtaxconsultants.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.